Real life was shown on TV. What if you knew?
Hi, this is Diamond Dave here. And I want to welcome everybody in the room, Ramua Key, Mark Schwartz, David Grace, and Steve Griggs, neighborhood denizen here to the state. And we're doing something very special, and the whole planet, by way of love, enemy combatant radio, the whole planet going around the globe here at IndieBay.org. And I have a special friend of mine, an old friend of mine, who's going to do his ancestral invocation. And next week, where he's going to come back next week, and we're going to go full tilt boogie, and we're definitely keeping it organic. So here's my brother Ramu Aki. Ramu is a MC at the Cafe International, among many other things, at the Cafe International open mic, which is on Friday nights, and he's right here now. So hey, Ramu. Welcome to Enemy Combatant Radio, and here you be as you see. And also, I want to say before we started, we're also joined, and we're going to be speaking to him shortly, by Vincent, Blast Furnace Radio, there in the depths of Pittsburgh on the East Coast. So this is West Coast, East Coast, and around the planet. Hey, Vincent, welcome to IndieBay.org, Enemy Combatant Radio.
I love it. It's a bi-coastal experience.
It's a bi-coastal experience for sure. And so here's one of our bi-coastal worlds, world citizens. I'm talking about Ramu. Hey, Ramu, welcome to Blast Furnace. Welcome to Blast Furnace Radio and Enemy Combatant.
Thank you.
Go for it, brother.
All right. Oh, ancestors, guide us with continual encouragement. Inspire in us compassion, honor, courage, and a common sense. Fearlessness, take root in spirit, garden, complete respect. Bless us that delusion's artifice might melt away. Whisper wisdom in our psyches from your treasure trove, those lives lived. All passion, all desire, every unrequited fear-motivated acts. Consequence shown clear through the black hole umbilical light, which through all generations of form destined to change yet shines. That truth's feather might reveal in us clarity of correct measure. Oh, ancestors, guide us with continual encouragement. Hear us where you stand there in your once lived lives. Let our present day conditions song blossom in your soulful dreams and thus inform your life's decisions. that our heart ears might open to lamentations of our generations yet unborn, and our choices and behaviors in this life might be thus informed. Oh, ancestors, guide us with continual encouragement to you. All gratitude, complete respect. Through you we are come here upon this rhythm without disconnect.
And that was Ramuki with his invocation, and we're going to hear he's a multifaceted human being. We're going to be hearing more from him next week. And now, right here, no farther away than the telephone, is my friend Vincent at Blast Furnace Radio. Hey, Vincent, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I knew that there was some way that I'd get to San Francisco.
Well, you're here in spirit for sure, and in voice. Well, hey, well, let's tell our numerous listeners around the planet about Blast Furnace Radio and the kind of things you do regularly and what's going on and what to expect and how to find you.
Well, Blast Furnace Radio was started over 6 years ago in the basement of the Pittsburgh Catholic Worker. And back then, it took a long time to set it up. We were running off of a 233 computer and a 56K modem, and things have changed since then. When we first went online, for some reason, the media loves to cover new media, and they sat down there in my basement interviewing me for 3 hours with the little 233 computer and my Mattel record player and the kitty litter. And since then, it has taken me around the United States, Canada, and a year ago to Baghdad with a bunch of other journalists. Blast Furnace Radio organized people from Free Speech TV and professors and editors of newspapers to go over to Baghdad unembedded. And so it's been very exciting these last 6 years. We've helped over 11 different cities start web radio stations. We've gone to different Seattle-type uprisings, helping to set this up, and now like Radio Volta, and now those stations are up and running, and it's been an exciting trip, and I'm sure that in a lot of ways it's just beginning.
Let's do a little book. Can you mention, first of all, how people can get Blast Furnace and some of the others like Radio Volta and so on? Because we're definitely casting a wider net, and there's a whole community out there that needs to know about these things. So first of all, how can people find you and Blast Furnace Radio?
Yeah, with Blast Furnace Radio, you just go to blastfurnaceradio.org, blastfurnaceradio.org, or you go to No2War. N-O-T-O-W-A-R, notowar.com. And for a lot of these different homegrown stations, you can go to radio.indymedia.org. Also, a lot of our audio clips over the years are uploaded to radio, the number 4, radioforall.net.
Suit. So there's really a lot happening, and there's no reason why this can't be interactive, and each and everybody out there on the net can in fact be downloading to download their own stuff too. And so this is definitely as you say, something is really just beginning, but is a way to get information out, to get entertainment and entertainment. I point at my heart when I say entertainment, and where poetry, politics, music, and just people meet.
Yes, it's most of the software that it takes to broadcast over the internet with audio takes 6 minutes. So anybody with a computer and a microphone or even a laptop, a wireless laptop, can start their own radio show. And as Abby Hoffman once said, that we don't complain about the media. If we don't like it, go out and make the news.
Shoot, and I want to say that this really makes my heart feel good to be talking to you here, because we met and you put me up on the way to the Rainbow Gathering just a month or so ago, right there in Pittsburgh. And so I want to send my love to your family as well.
Yes, thank you.
To
and my family loved having Diamond Dave over here, and have talked about him since he left, and it was real exciting to go to the Rainbow Gathering. My children are 3 and 7, Caitlin and Chenoa, and they were 3 and 7, and they just loved Kids Village, and they loved the Rainbow Gathering.
Well, shoot, and Rebecca, your partner too, puts
yes,
up with
Rebecca the- is really something. I met her, and this refers back to the internet again. I met her over the internet on a vegetarian mailing list, and she dropped what she was doing in Paris and came here to Pittsburgh, and we now have a family that eats peanut butter sandwiches with bananas on it.
Wow, yeah.
Really, I had some of that peanut butter, to say nothing of 6 cats, and of course the pup.
Webster the guard dog.
So let's make this a regular. Any regular contributions you want to make to this? This is we're casting a wide net. Of course, we're finding that common thread, which is internet radio, and we're letting it flourish, encouraging it too. And don't panic. We'll keep it organic. So stay in touch. And any contributions you want to upload, to download, and put on here too. We can be broadcasting from your studio to this studio and out to the world, can't we, David?
It can be done.
And it will be done. So, hey, thanks for calling on, and this is going to be going out through Blaster Earners Radio for the rest of the show, right?
Yes, we'll be rebroadcasting the rest of the show over Blaster Earners Radio, and if you guys could upload it to radioforall.net, then our little friends who have pirate radio stations as well as internet radio stations could rebroadcast this fine show.
Hey, I'll get with you later, Vincent. I've never uploaded Radio for All, but we'll certainly put it on the Indie Bay site.
Yeah, Radio for All is so easy. I can use it. I was the only person in Upper St. Clair High School who flunked typing. Okay, well, listen, thank you, and you have a good show.
All right, brother.
All right, peace be with you.
And now we're good. Now my next guest is another old friend. I'm talking about Mark Schwartz. Mark does the open mic at the Cafe Prague every Sunday at 4:00, and we're going to segue with and also he has a new CD. It might be called Dream Prose, and I thought we could segue and take a little deep breath. And so here, coming up from Mark Schwartz's new CD, Dream Prose with music, is Ninja Samurai Temple.
Preparing for the trip home to Earth from being on another planet in a dream. While there, I thanked them for my ability to hear voices. They mentioned whether it was worth it given certain deaths. I met a few people from Earth there and assumed they were preparing to go with me back. One chick from the Hate turned old when she was past 3 cab drivers. I lost her. Then going back to the main street, I was treated as homeless, but perhaps a citizen. A miniature porta potty was checked and cleaned near a gas station, while there was a cop directing traffic. They assumed I was somebody else, asked if I knew calculus, and I said yes. Met an earthling who was near pants that fit. Learned that in saying goodbye, the people on the foreign planet twinked ears. Asked if two men could have relations. I said it was getting better. I didn't make it back to Earth until I woke up from the dream. Now I realize that the voices I hear are the aliens who are here but invisible.
Thank you.
I had a dream where I flew through a ninja samurai temple leading to a fortress of armies. I was able to convince the ninja samurai master and others that we could provide circles within circles, taking over the government in D.C. The last or fifth circle would be the old, the poor, the homeless, participating yet safe from battle. I penetrated U.S. security by passing as a ninja samurai flyer who does airplane checks as a steward inside the plane. U.S. agent said, "We'll meet your group at 7:30 outside the church." I flew a straight line to the fifth circle, but in my waking fantasy, came back for battle and led a group of inner circle people and heard a voice say, "Ninja Samurai Master 1. Rather than returning to sleep, I stayed awake and was told by a voice that I was now a 2-hour spy.
Okay, hey, that was Mark Schwartz from his new CD. And I have here, right here in the flesh, reading from one of his numerous books, some of his poetry. Let's start with a poem. Hey, Mark.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. This is from On Third Street, Kerouac Revisited, which Lawrence Ferlinghetti says is my best title out of about 14 books. And he put it in the window at City Lights, which lasted 3 days. And it is available at City Lights, at Broadway in Columbus and San Francisco. And, of course, you can get it through me at 415-905-8837. Yes, that's a phone number. Call me up, and I will make arrangements to get you the CDs or the books. Here it is. I saw Bin Laden in a dream late last night. We were in a shower room where we were both naked. I promised to teach Bin how to fly, like Robin Williams and myself, through the air, so he couldn't get stopped at airports. This was after I sent Bush a telegram telling him it would be more cost-effective to stop the bombing and send 10,000 lawyers with legal search warrants to find Osama bin Laden. And now for those of you militant revolutionaries out there, this poem was composed with George Tsongas, and I'm just making one change in it. It's called Grant and Vallejo, North Beach, San Francisco. On these four corners will be three bushes and a rove hung on lampposts. Birds will eat their eyes because eyes are a delicacy. In the intersection, there will be a bonfire with marshmallows and hot dogs and whiskey. We have the cherry pickers and the rope to do the job. Let us work together.
And then we want to take another break. Then I want you to introduce another cut from your CD.
Okay. This one is a 4:30:04 memorial for Alan Cohen. Alan was the editor and the publisher of the Haight-Ashbury Oracle, which was a literary newspaper in the Haight-Ashbury in the 60s, which had people like Allen Ginsberg, Ken Kesey, and a whole host of others writing articles for it. Alan died over a year ago. 4:30:04 memorial for Alan Cohen. Alan, during one of our last meetings, you asked me to find that which has fallen. I looked around and found a purse on the ground and said it must be that. You then told me to just mingle with the guests. Now, Alan, I have found that it is you who have fallen. Fallen past the open readings, fallen past the flowers you wrote about, which sat on the table between us. Fallen past the rock concerts in Golden Gate Park. Fallen past the legacy of the Oracle. I wish it had been the Bush administration that had fallen, or Reagan. Now, with the silence, I only wish that I can hear you say, just mingle among the guests.
Yo, and that's Alan Cohen. His spirit is right here. Also, of course, this Friday there's going to be the first concert in Wake for another character from that time. another mover and shaker for that time. I'm talking about Chet Helms. So, hey, Chet Helms. Chet Helms put on the first shows. Chet, out there in the park, out there at the Avalon Ballroom, the family dog, that's for sure. Tell me, I was talking about putting out shows. So, Schwartz, you've been doing open mics and being a spirit up there in North Beach, casting that wide net for quite some time now. How long has it been?
It's been 10 years, and I was just recognized by the president of the Board of Supervisors with a certificate of honor for the 10 years of poetry organizing in North Beach.
And that's our friend Aaron Peskin.
Right.
And Aaron represents and is elected and probably could be there. He might be in his last term now. Represent and is definitely a man about the neighborhood there in North Beach, would you say?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very popular supervisor. And he was voted by his peers to be the president of the board.
Okay. So do you have another poem there? Okay, well, before we get into that, tell us a bit about what you have coming up there at the Cafe Prague, 4 o'clock on Sundays.
Well, this Sunday at 4 o'clock, we'll be having Ken Wainio, who's coming in from Clear Lake. Ken has a book coming out in the fall, published in France, which will also be in English. Which is about the writers of North Beach in the 70s, which will include stories about Jack Hirschman, Jack Michelin, Bob Kaufman, Richard Brodigan, and Gregory Corso, and a whole host of others. Ken will be hopefully coming on Sunday at 4. I would have to get my schedule to find out the rest.
Yeah, let's put that out there, and we'll keep. And if you leave a schedule here, we'll be putting these out each and every week to let people know that on Sunday, this is Thursday, so on Sunday, if you're around, and say going up to North Beach, and who's going to be there?
Right, and Cafe Prague is at 584 Pacific Street, cross streets Kearney and Columbus, accessible by the 15 bus.
Okay, that's great. You got another poem there?
I'll try this one. It's from my book, A Picture is Worth 62 Words, which just came out yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
I debuted it at the North Beach Public Library.
And this is its world radio, internet radio debut as well.
There we go.
Here we be.
Red, white, and blue in the rain. Red for the murdered Zapatistas in Chiapas, the slaughtered Indians in Westward Movement, the blood of HIV-positive people. White for the oppressive capital class, the innocence and naivete of the social condition of the worker, the blindness. Blue for the end of profits, money, credit cards, banks. For the feeling I get when I feel the condition we're in, the homeless. The rain is giving us new perspective. It is washing away the fear to change. The earth is being replenished, and we are thinking, ready to act.
Yo. And hey, Mark Schwartz, thanks for coming down. I want you to look for that schedule. But meanwhile, let's segue back to Mark Schwartz with music. How'd you do this? Tell us a bit about how this happened.
Well, these were dreams that I wrote down after I woke up. It's about a year and a half worth of dreams selected. Then I gave it to David Dolinar, who I met through Angela, who was working at the Cafe Trias Annex. And David used computer synthesizers to back the spoken word. And he asked me what kind of music would I like, and I told him listen to John Cage.
Hey, and I guess he did. So pick another poem from your CD. Give us.
Okay, what about 12 Rue Power? 12 Rue Power.
12 Rue Power. Do you know what cut that is?
Is that 4?
Yeah.
No, 4 is 12. Oh, that's number 5. Okay, yeah, we'll give that.
Okay, fine.
Okay, 12 Rule Power.
What's tick? I don't know what tick is.
I
don't have a tick.
Okay.
What
are you ticking? Well, yeah, well, it shows us. But anyway, ho, that's the way it goes around here. So here's 12 Rule Power. We'll do a couple of his spoken song words with John Cage type music backing him up for sure. So take it away, David Gray.
Power is what tribes people call capitalist power. I learned this in a dream. Which began with the writing of a poem in the street and to be rewritten in a coffee shop bar. Owner of coffee shop bar acknowledged me playing footsie with my cousin, who's really my brother. Says he... must order something. Third party member I'm with says party will get larger later. He orders a Coke. I wish for a Coke. Owner delivers Coke to me. I ask him if he's able to read minds. We discuss payment. I'm willing to pay for two Cokes. Get stuck on 2 times 98 cents. I open Coke and it's an empty can. Owner brings back larger empty coffee can as if in resolution. I ask him if he's a comedian. He winks his right eye and asks, do I know what it means? I say no. He says, yeah. I get a free beer. He then tells me, wink and a motion of his hand to where his eyes and nose meet means free whiskey. And a third motion means free whiskey Civic Center, which he says Stanley used to order. I am asleep and awake to find new pants on with old rainbow suspenders. I find previously worn pants and clothes. Pockets to find ID and some objects not mine. All of a sudden, tribe of owner appears. We make nonverbal motions as if we are friends. Then another tribe appears. They go through the items from my pocket. We discuss items with me being vague. Finally, me and one of the tribe's people become friends. And we head off towards the other tribe. He tells me of Ishii, who is the god icon which represents no 12 rule. I am asleep and awake again. I call the god icon Ishii. I am carried to a table. A tribes person bangs the table twice with fists. I feel something stinging my right foot. An exposed tribesperson with metal coil who stabbed my foot with coil with his foot. Another tribesperson tells me he will buy me a guidebook. I tell him, don't buy, and give me one free. Most of the tribe already see I'm against 12 rule. Two people acknowledge me by saying something which puts me down. I spit on one and say, Democrat. I spit on the other and say, Republican. I then cry, Anarchism, Communism. Then separately, I am approached by the two and a third, am quizzed, asked about how I know about capital rule.
You get the end. Here he goes again. Well, let me just say, don't worry, you're not missing any words. Take a deep breath. You're not missing any words. Take a deep breath. It's an artifact of the download system. That's what it
means. To anarchism, communism. I head to circle of one tribe, to the center.
We're bringing anarchy out of chaos here. We're doing good. I just want to assure you, missed no words. It's an archetype, not an archetype. It's a archa of the download system. But that's all. You missed not one word of Mark Schwartz. And if you get his CD, there will not be those gaps. Am I right, Mark?
That's right.
They'll be all there. So, and you can get the CD. He told you how. So by all means. And now, so hey, Mark, thanks for coming down. And now I've brought Running In Out of the Street. Well, as we're getting this set, with Steve Driggs, Neighborhood Denizen now, I want to say that once again at 9:30 at the BART station, if you're anywhere in town, come on down. You'll be hearing some of the poets next week. There will be the sea. It's a beautiful night in San Francisco, by the way. The sea, that's collaborative. A, that's arts. and I insurgency and their numbers coming down there to do some of this do our poetry politics meek, doing some of this flow of the new generation coming down, getting on. It's a free session. They're out there in the Bart Plaza here at 60th in the heart of the Mission. There's no MC. People just jump right out and do it. It's the cutting edge. It's how do I say it? It's transcending all past categories, welcoming all cool folk out here on the cutting edge. And also, as we speak, every other weekend, we're going to bring her into Elle's. Does an open mic in the back room of the Delva Cafe. That's where our brother Ramu went back to. And we're going to be working on bringing some of the features there. Hopefully, I could get her for next week to come down and talk about it and bring some of the features there to come up here afterwards or before and do some poetry here around the planet. And then you can go down to the Delva at the Delva. It's a bar. The Delva. And see them in the flesh. And I'll let you know next week who's going to be the feature the week after, because we're still working this out. And also there's various political things happening, various getting out the streets happening. We got the big march on the 26th. Well, that's pretty well under the thumb of the professional revolutionaries we're talking about, you know, on the 26th. That's on the 24th of September. And on the 26th, though, there's going to be civil disobedience and direct action all over town. And we'll be talking with that, because that's where we're down with, for sure. Now I got my brother. Hey, Steve, welcome to Enemy Combatant Radio.
Hey, it's nice to be here, Dave.
Now, Steve and I go way back as far as anybody I see regularly, back to those days before we had this technology. There was KPFA, but this technology, but with the great rise of every town of underground newspapers, in this case, the San Francisco Good Times, that had become from the San Francisco Express Times. And among the editors was Steve Driggs and his brother Harry, and I see old Steve regularly. And his mother, and he's part of a second generation too. Your mom was also a revolutionary radical.
Was a Glide Church regular. You remember, used to be down there every weekend trying to stop that war in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
I guess she finally did it.
Well, it wasn't just her. She definitely played a part. And right here, and wasn't she connected the Mission, the Progressive Labor, and those folks?
Early on, yeah. She worked with John Ross on
that. I was about to say, I remember John Ross.
Remember that?
Yeah, G-Spot. I remember the
Spark
paper.
The newspaper they put out on out of the Mission here.
And that came out of because they were Leninists, and that was their translation of Lenin's revolutionary underground paper, Iskia, which is Spark in Russian, by the way.
Oh, I'd forgotten all about that.
That's what we do. That's the good way conversation is about. It allows us to remember things that we forgot. But I definitely remember I was working as a community worker, community employment worker at the spot, which is now the cop shop. And that says something about the way times have changed. But then was Department of Human Resources, HRD, Human Resources Development, there was some money around, and people were working on various job programs. But I used to come at lunch and sit with you guys and smoke with you guys there.
That's right. You were a social worker back in those days.
Yeah, I was. I was here at the bottom. I came out of this program called, they had this program called New Careers for the Poor. And their idea was, this is when they're still, looking back now, it's hard to believe after Reagan, governor and Reagan, president and all of that. This is back in the early 70s when, how did Dylan say it? Bob Dylan's line, revolution in the, music in the cafes at night and revolution in the air. But starting with the Berkeley Barb, the times are right and ripe. I talk a bit about this. And they began in every town, sometimes as several underground newspapers that combined the hippie spirit, the pot-smoking spirit, and either nationally through Liberation News Service or locally through the many reporters, a revolutionary politic. Talk a bit about that, because I think many people don't even remember.
In those days, this was before computers, believe it or not. We had an adjuster writer, I think they called it, we set the paper on. But there were newspapers in every major city across the United States, and we were all in touch. We had the Liberation News Service that provided stories for all of us, sort of like the AP of the Underground, Associated Press. And we had a lot of characters that dropped by. A lot of dropout journalists came by and worked with us. You couldn't stand, you know, that might be something for some of these lying journalists now to think about, is to drop out.
Let's talk some of those, because it was a happening place. People would come through, and it was a happening place.
Remember Captain Dave and Stanley, what was his name?
Doc Stanley. Now, he was a character.
They were all writers, you know. They were well-published writers and novelists. And who was the guy from the communications company?
Oh, that was...
He put that out on Hate Street. It was a mimeograph sheet.
Yeah, the first underground, Seeds of the Underground Press.
He had two or three successful novels out, and he was quite a character. But people just gathered around the newspaper, and the same thing was going on in Berkeley. A lot of people showed up there, and somehow or another, with no money. Well, we actually all lived together
in
a big house. Yeah, we had a commune, and everybody in the house worked on the paper, and we had about a $500 press bill to meet every week, and we sold enough ads, and for a while there, the record companies were sending us a lot of ads.
And then people would come and pick up
the Bay Guardian ripped us off, you know. They got in on the act and started doing everything we were doing, and they had a lot more business sense.
Well, we had also a lot of people got supported, too, because you'd come get get an armload of paper and go out in the streets and sell them.
Yeah, right.
And that began, we mentioned, oddly enough in all this, we mentioned Alan Cohen, who began this idea with the San Francisco Oracle. And that was like the first one. And then a couple years later, as it became more politicized, and he used to be condemned for not being political, he was more hippie and cosmic, but down with his own politics. But as the politicization went on, revolution in the cafes at night, music in the cafes at night, and revolution in the air, and the rise of the black planters, and the underground, and the brown berets, and then the weather underground, now being written about in many books. In fact, this would cause various political splits and many fights, too. Like, I remember at some one time there was two Liberation News services, both of them claiming to be the true Liberation News service. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, that went on for a while.
And then there'd be other papers that would come and go. Like, I remember one, the Dock of the Bay. Remember Dock of the Bay?
Oh, yeah.
And some others. And there was slight, I don't even remember what the nuanced differences of the poly. And there was like two or three Berkeley Barbs at one time.
Right.
And all going out, and it was an atmosphere which to try to describe the two or three generations that have come since is kind of interesting. But give it a
you know,
good time.
There were other, of course, there were other newspapers, and there was, like you say, the Oracle. That was always what we had to overcome. Everybody said, well, the Oracle was better, but the Oracle had a lot of money to work with and a lot of really big names, and that was right in the middle of the hate. When the Hate Ashbury was really popping.
It didn't outlast the fall of the Hate. I should do my poem. Let me do a poem now. Well, I'll wait for it. I want to do a poem called 30th Anniversary.
I was going to say that what happened with the Good Times is we came along just a little later in the Oracle, and we got caught in the middle between some serious revolutionaries like the Black Panthers and the anti-war movement, and the Hate Ashbury hippie scene was still going on. And we were standing in the middle of all that, and the hippies didn't like us, and the Black Panthers didn't like us because we weren't exactly doing what they wanted, you know, on each side.
And then there was a split in the Black Panthers between the Cleaver faction and the Huey Newton faction. And I remember they were struggling for the paper.
Oh man, it sounded that we thought that any minute we were taking power in those days. I mean, it looked so
like
good,
it.
You know.
And these great events were coming, like the Jagger, the Soledad brothers, and the shootout with Jackson, and then Jackson's brother being killed, the two of them being killed, Jonathan Jackson, and all of this was happening seemingly right out the doors.
You remember Willie Menzies? He went off for candlelight for smoking joints in the park.
Well, he had what was called the Shiva Fellowship, and. It was a Shiva Fellowship, and people would come and bring joints and have this circle every Sunday in Hippie Hill.
Yeah, and they got a picture of some kid picking up one of the joints, and they busted him for that.
That's right.
And then when he finally went to trial, turned out his lawyer was all strung out on meth or something and hadn't prepared at all, and the guy walked off with 10 to life sentence.
Two of them.
Yeah. No, he got out in about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, he did, and the family, so he got back. I wonder if he's still on the planet.
Tony Serra, we all went down to his trial from the Good Times, and When he was sentenced, we all got up and moaned and yelled at the judge, and five of us got arrested for disturbing the court, and we all did 5 days. Sure. And Tony Serra was the lawyer at that time.
Yeah,
he went to jail with us,
huh?
But he got right out, and then he got us out.
And Tony, oh,
and I rode over to – it was really crazy. Here, Willie was going away for 10 to life, and I was going away for 5 days for disturbing – what do they call that?
Contempt of court.
Contempt of court.
Yeah.
And we were sitting in the patrol car, me and Willie, going off to jail.
Shoot, need a little baby too? Shoot. And
I was doing wino time, as they say, you know.
Shoot. What are the stuff? And your brother was like the outright injury, and the whole family there. And so, what are some of the other things you remember about those days? Looking back now, that we were about to tell
well,
and
know,
communicate
it,
with people who weren't even born then. We're talking about the early 70s, right?
Yeah, it was real exciting. There was just things breaking all across the country all the time. We never knew what was going to happen next, and then slowly the new wave movement came in. You know, the gurus started coming to town and so forth. And one after another, members of the staff would come in and say, "You know, I've signed up with Maharishi so and so." You know, and
shoot.
And this started to drift away, and the money got the record companies stopped giving us ads.
And the paper got smaller and smaller.
I went off to South America for a year.
Remember that Barbara Garson, who wrote that Take Off on Macbeth about LBJ, that went around the planet and was famous for his thought? It was a parody of Macbeth with LBJ, that's Lindenberg Jones, and the murder of LBJ,
sure, yeah.
How many kids have you killed today? And she wrote a book called McBird.
Right.
Yeah, you remember Marvin, her husband.
Marvin Garson.
He actually started Good Times. Actually, the paper was called something else.
Express Times.
Express Times.
Exactly.
And he went to the park one day and took a bunch of acid and came back and said, "No, this is Good Times." And so we called it Good Times from that point on. But Marvin never came back to reality, really, I guess. And he couldn't handle the good times, you know.
Well, he wasn't
too
the
much
only
good
one.
Times.
Wasn't only,
and then, so we carried on, and Marvin went to Palestine. I see letters from him to the AVA once in a while.
Occasionally. That's the Anderson Valley advertiser, which has kept the spirit going in a certain way as well. You can see the spirit. And there are papers like the Chicago Seed, that was a really good one, too. Had some really good artists. And,
oh, they had flashy color, that's right.
And flashy color. And out of Austin, Texas, the great speckled beer bird. And out of Portland was the Wilmette. Do you remember any of the others? There were almost every
Tuesday's
town.
Child in Los Angeles. We went down there and connected up with them the day while Manson was on trial. Yeah, you know, back those days, people remember everything was breaking. Yeah, you know, like we had columns on organic food. The first time anybody ever thought about organic food. And we had columns on. We had Sandy Darlington's or Jeannie Darlington writing about grow your own, about how to grow organic food.
And the Darlington.
We had Cop Watch. You know, the first time the citizens had decided to see just what are these cops doing when they're out there on the street. And then you know, a lot of us had, of course, all of us had long hair, and long hair was new at that time.
And we smoking pot constantly.
And, when Manson thing broke, I mean, all of a sudden, anybody with long hair looked like they were part of a plot. And I remember going to L.A. Down there to meet with Tuesday's Child, and they'd been to the trial. And, boy, everybody was scared to death. So we had some real paranoid times, along with the good times. It was just up and down. It was it was really something else.
It was a time to live through for sure. And criticism of the mass media really began then. What's his name? He's now famous. He now is a professor at Columbia, I think. Wasn't that Dark Shadow? Didn't he write under the name Dark Shadow?
I didn't know Black Shadow was at Columbia.
Maybe it's, what's his name? He's great.
Could be.
He wrote the book in the 60s. The book is called The 60s now. It's a big book that tells a lot of the story. But he was there. He was there. And Doc Stanley, of course, I was just remembering now. Remember, he killed somebody. He was living in some community up in the woods.
Yeah,
and there was this guy. a kind of a biker guy or something. It was harassing and bullying everybody. And Doc Stanley took it on himself to shoot the guy, to shoot him dead. And he went to jail for a while on it. You remember that?
Yeah, he did a couple of years in San Quentin.
And so I wonder if those are available. I'm sure there's some there's books you can, if you Google Underground Press, I'm sure you can find some websites devoted to all of that, just as you can find the Digger's website, which has all the early Digger papers and the early from the grandfather seats at Underground Press. That was the communication company. We'll think of that guy's which began right there in Haight Street.
Right, you know, there were several things that came out of that period, but one of the things I've been thinking about recently is this concept of consciousness. You know, everybody was talking about consciousness back there, and of course all of it turned into some kind of spiritualized, transcendental sort of identity, but nobody, you know, we were all brought up in the 50s, you know, and, you know, pretty constrained thinking back then, and that broke loose, and then it got buried. You know, right after the hippie movement came the gay movement, and it almost slammed the door completely on everything that happened in the 60s. Not much was left after the gay movement took off, and with the gay movement, you could go back and get a nice job and dress in conventional clothes and get a haircut and...
But this underground lineage, in fact, at the Island Cafe, speaking of the gay, where the gay and the hippies at the Island Cafe with our man from medical marijuana, we're talking about...
Dennis Perrone.
Yeah. Kept the spirit going. And who came out of... Who was Dennis Perrone, the kind of opened the door for the John the Baptist for, if you will, but Harvey Milk.
Right.
Yeah.
And
but what I was saying, what I'm thinking about this consciousness is that... We didn't know it at the time, but we were breaking ground in every direction because people were willing to try and do just about anything, you know, living together. I mean, we were sharing our socks with each other, and everybody was just suddenly trying something new and different, and I think we have to get back to that. We have to kind of interrelate a little more with each other and realize that in groups, it's not that we're going to make revolution necessarily, but we ought to be able to just get together, share our lives with each other a little more in very practical ways. Of course, it's much tougher to do that now.
Yeah, well, this is I've just come back from the Rainbow Gathering since I saw you last in West Virginia, where 10,000 people or so are there on the 4th. It starts with a trickle, and that trickle becomes a stream, and that stream becomes a community, and that community becomes a river, a trickle becoming a stream becoming a river becoming a mighty torrent, and there around the 4th of July, the 3rd of July is Judas Priest, where they all come from, and it's really that spirit of practicing anarchy, of no money, of people sharing food, of people giving what they can and getting what they need, and it goes all the way back to those days with the Diggers in 19, it's now 35 years of Rainbow Gathering, so it's still there. You remember the Good Earth Commune? That was
the
Good Earth Commune.
The White Panthers. Yeah,
yeah, well, then became the White Panthers after another suicidal political battle in which the kind of Stalinists, a handful of Stalinists kind of took over. We got to have discipline, and they all took off for the woods, and that's it. But at one time, the Good Earth Commune, the Church of the Good Earth, was a major force in the Haight. They had many houses. They had people like many houses.
Yeah, you know, one time I got traffic tickets, and they said I could work them out, and they asked me where I wanted to go, and I noticed they had something called the Redwood Food Company or something, and it turned out that when I went down there, it was the White Panther.
Oh, boy, and they really worked you, too.
And they worked me like a slave. Oh, you know? I said, look, I'm just in here on traffic tickets. They said, I don't care. They said, count those beans, you know.
Yeah. That was what's his name? Tom Stevens.
Yeah, Tom Stevens.
And his henchman.
Yeah, him and his buddy went to jail for shooting at a cop.
Yeah, for shooting out
the window. Remember, the cops busted into the house. Exactly. You're not allowed to do that. Yeah. So he tried to defend himself, and he shot down the stairway.
Yeah.
at the cops. And shoot, they got 2 years. And Dennis Perrone, when they busted in his house, they shot up the stairway
and shot him in the
and
leg.
Hit him in the hip.
And he had thrown out. He didn't know. Suddenly, all these people were rushing out. He didn't know who they were. This is his story. And he picked up this pot by this big bag and threw it down the stairs until
they
shot
him.
Yeah, he didn't know. He thought it was because he was at those times. Dennis Perrone, we're doing some hipstery here. You've heard of history. History, and this is hipstery. He had he was famous before medical marijuana, before he figured that out. He had what was called the Big Top. You ever hear of the Big Top? This was, he'd get an apartment right over there in Castro, or right around here, a whole flat, and he'd have these kids, and you'd walk in there. Like when you got your check, I used to get my check, and I walk in, and I have $10 for my, because I had $10 for my check, and $10 would get you a whole ounce in those days. And he walked in, and he'd have these different kind. It was like a medical marijuana place. He'd have different kinds and grades of marijuana.
And big bags around his feet. It was really
around the room. Around the room, and there'd be some rolled joints there, and you try this, and then you go try this, and then you put it in a bag and bring it up, and they'd have another kid with a scale at the door, and he'd weigh it up. You get $5 worth of this, and $5 were a long way in those days, and $10 worth of this, and so on, and he'd weigh it up, and you give him the money, and you'd be. It's called the Big Top, the marijuana supermarket. He was the founder of that. Besides,
A lot of that got overshadowed because of the rock and rollers. You know. They became the symbol of the hippie movement, you know, the big bands and so forth, which was okay. You know, they were great bands, but people didn't realize what was going on.
The commodification of the movement.
At the same time.
It happens again and again. Hey, you guys, money doesn't talk, it swears. Another Bob Dylan line. Well, I'll do a poem of mine. Have you heard me do this poem called 30th Anniversary Summer of Love?
No, go ahead, man.
It was in the, I was asked to do it 30th, that was 1997. I was asked to do it, speaking of newspapers and lineage, the now past editor of this very newspaper and this very, I'm talking about the Mission News. I'm talking about our brother who now died suddenly, editor of the Mission News.
Yeah, the old editor of the Mission News. You know, they were going to name the Bart Plaza after him, and I've never seen, I was there at the dedication, but they've never put the plaque in.
And who's that?
For the old editor of the
What's
New
his
Mission
name?
News.
Well, let's do it. We'll think of it.
Yeah, they ought to get that plaque in there.
Yeah,
so
but anyway, he said
in
the
name.
Mission News, he did, and you'd see him on his bicycle riding. It was a newspaper in the old sense of a newspaper, and he was editor in the old sense, too, of keeping a newspaper running and having interesting writers and kind of underground.
Victor Miller, editor-in-chief.
I know, Victor.
Victor Miller, that's right.
Yeah, let's dedicate to Victor. I see him in my eye in his Hawaiian shirt riding his bike. From 24th Street, picking up ads.
He was good at selling ads.
Yeah, picking up ads, stopping to talk, picking up news, and so on. He was definitely a newspaper editor in the sense of, in the tradition of a Mark Twain, in the tradition of an H.L. Mencken, Victor Miller, now gone to the sky, the spirit world, the other side of the camp. But he said to me once, it was the 30th anniversary. He said, "Diamond Dave, yeah, you were there." And you're still here now, 30 years later. I turned 30. You turned 30 at the end of that street, Hate Street, that some call hate and some call love. At the end of that summer, they call the Summer of Love 1967. And here it is, 1997. Could you do? And I sat down. I wrote some of it before, but I sat down there. It was the deadline. We got to have the deadline. I sat there down there in the basement of his office over there on Lexington Street, and I finished this poem. It goes like this. 30th anniversary, Summer of Love. It's 1997. Almost solstice. Another Monday. Here at the end of hate, where the park begins, 3 decades down the line. Around me. Small-time drug dealers. Hangers-in and hangers-out. Golden Gate kid campers. And undercover cops. Food Not Bombs. Diggers of Today. Serving vegan soup. And Katz's Day Old Bagels, saying, get in a loop and have some soup. No time to frown, time to chow down. You remember this, David? Gathering around, gnarly old hippies, veterans of a half-forgotten war. The Wrecking Crew, Fast Eddie's posse, deadhead refugees, dreadlock street survivors, and gaggles of gutter punks just off the trains. The freight trains, the best minds of all those generations here at the bottom looking up. Tie-dyed wayfaring backpackers heading for Oregon, the Rainbow Gathering. Those for whom 1997 is their 1967. Laid on hand, my mind's eye dances down the ribbon of time to that summer of love. That summer of bud. Here at the Digger Free Store, serving free food to draft dodgers. AWOLs fleeing the war. Long-haired urban gorillas, you remember. Come who may. The free... come who may. The free for... The... come who may. The free frame of reference. The communication company, seeds of the underground press, and no joke, lots of good smoke. And the Digger slogan, 1% free, returns to the community. Screaming awake from the American dream, four generations of beatniks, hippies, punk rockers, hip-hoppers, Rastafarians, freewheeling, freestyling, free-flowing into the millennium, transcending all past categories, welcoming all cool folk out here on the cutting edge. While the family dogs, hey, Chet Helms, while the family dogs, oh, Chet Helms, is back at the beach, October 12th, soccer fields, big bands, big names, big deal. But don't forget that 1% free. Transcending all past categories, we welcome all cool folk out here in the cutting edge. Enemy Combatant Radio. Well, this is pretty cool.
Right.
This is what this radio show. Yeah, what do you think?
Folks in Radio Land, he did that off the top of his head.
Well, I couldn't have had it. I got to have some in there for sure. yeah, I have a photographic memory in some areas. I just forget which areas.
I remember that 1% free. Some people thought that was a little heavy-handed, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It should be 100% free.
Well, they would go around to stores and tell the stores they had to dedicate 1% of their profits to the community.
Well, that was the idea.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And well, since they were all from New York, people thought, oh, man, this is some kind of a...
base, yeah. Well, the 1% free had a couple... And have you ever seen... I wanted to ask people, you can do it right now as you're listening. Go up there, go to www.diggers.org, and you'll see the 1% free the 1% free poster that came out. Do you remember that? It was a couple old Chinese dudes leaning against the wall smoking hand-rolled cigarette, and it just said 1% free. And people were scared, and it had a couple of meanings. As I, one was that all these new hippie capitalists that were coming up, and there were plenty of up and down Hate Street. People were moving in. They were making money, and all these dope dealers, pot dealers, were making all this money. And by this time, there's all this shit was happening. Remember, we buried the hippie people like. But anyway, all this stuff was coming down, and so that 1% free was that had to kick back to feed people, because we were feeding people food, not bombs, Diggers of Today, every day in the panhandle throughout that summer, and to find places where people could be put up, crash pads they were called, and also 1% free. There it is, the Digger Archives. There's there Emmett Grogan is, and there's 1% free right there. Maybe we can add that. And there's the copy of the Digger Papers. And Free City, that came later. I'll talk about that in a second. And anyway, there it is. And if you go to that, and I'm sure some of you already have, you'll be able to see and take a look at all the manifestos that were coming out, what was being said, and coming out in the street in the communication company up and down that street called Hate Street, Free Street at the time. And then that, remember that segued a little later into Free City, where we had this series of speak outs. Let's mention some of the people. Peter Berg, who now later segued into Planet Drum and the bioregional, that thing to break down into their natural bioregions, the community politics. That was Peter Berg. And of course, he was Peter Cohen then, but now he's gone with his Peter Coyote. When he took, and you can read their books too if you want to know more. Peter Coyote's book, Sleeper I Fall, that tells a lot of that story. And also Ringolivio, which is Emmett Grogan, where I was just looking at him there. And we had the Free Store. There was a free frame of reference. And the Black Man's Free Store, that's before we, down at McAllister Street. Do you remember? Were you around that?
Yeah, sure. And you remember, like I was mentioning before, at the same time was the war in Vietnam.
Oh, boy, and we were going,
and
that
and
whole
there was
movement
also,
was building.
You know, the civil rights movement. And they were all kind of working in their own separate ways, and it was hard to get them all together at that.
And various more Leninist groups, the Communist Party, there was the boys clubs, various coalitions were formed in honor of, and we were kind of like on the cutting edge, but we were also like the hippies and the bohemians. So all of this, it was an interesting history, and it was a fascinating history looking back now from the 40 years or
so. You know, if you think of it now, we've got the Iraq War going on. Well, we had the Vietnam War going on then, and there was the hippie movement, so... maybe we could get something going on here now because we got another war. Huh?
Well, we're up for it, down for it, and there's going to be... just then, there's Cauliflower. That's still here, right over on 30th. Cauliflower, remember they had their paper?
Yeah,
and they looked down at you because they had, everything for them had to be free. Free,
yeah,
free,
they were
free.
Mad at us because we charged 25 cents for our paper, and they gave theirs away free. there were some idealists in those days, you know.
But also the rub was that there's their thing. Remember that? There it is right there. That was there. They'd come. I was, in fact, in the kitchen there when they brought that by. They wanted to circle only among communes, really.
Yeah.
And you had to prove to them you were a commune. And they had this board that they, this thing that they built out of boards where you could put, you know, they had a little box, see? We're looking at it now, the Cauliflower Commune. It's right over here on 30th Street. Irving is still there. He goes back to the Beats. He's another character. And they'd come in and put this board up. And it had a little box in the bottom where you could put articles on and also want ads for free. They wanted a free exchange and barter system, remember?
Right.
And there it is. We're looking at it through the magic of the computers. We're looking at it now. And that was the Cauliflower Commune, and they had this newspaper all hand-lettered, and also had, speaking of the gay thing, they also had that, they had that whole gay...
It showed you how many communes were around in those days, because they would go out in a group and bring the paper.
And bring the paper.
And sit down and talk for a while, and then go on to the next commune. I don't know what their circulation was, but there was enough communes to keep them busy.
Yeah, and they wanted to be, you guys were more into, you guys were onto getting it out in the streets in thousands of copies. There was like quantity, it was the old Marxist, quantity and quality, you know, getting it out there to the masses and building coalitions. And there was really Irving, and theirs was free. But in fact, Irving, who we still see sometimes, don't you, Irving Rosenfeld?
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while, but I know he's still around.
He's still around, and yeah. I think
they still have a nice place over in the Mission.
And organic,
where they've grown trees and gardens.
And they used to be on Scott Street where they were doing bamboo, right?
Yeah,
remember Bamboo Dave? I don't know if you do or not, but anyway, he was the bamboo guy. He wrote the book on bamboo.
Well, they were selling trees to the city.
Yeah, they were telling. Yeah,
they had a nice little deal going. That
they did on Scott Street.
Yeah.
That's right. Now I remember that for sure. See, it takes two to really get our minds flowing. And this is the magic of internet radio. You could be listening in. And if you don't hear it now, you can access it 24/7 right there. We'll say Diamond Dave's Fourth Show, and we'll talk about a bit of what we did. And you just click on it. This is like the new underground radio in this lineage. And you can click on it, and you'll be able to hear the whole thing. So that's Indie Media. IndieBay.org, Enemy Combatant Radio. And we can even link up with things like the Diggers Papers, the Diggers.org, and so on, can't we? Can you do that, David?
Oh, yeah, we can put the website up.
Yeah, let's put the website for Diggers.org.
Yeah, we'll do the link for Diggers.org, Diggers.org. And, man, it goes on forever. There's all sorts of great stuff on there.
Oh, boy. And we're learning while we go along, too. We're casting a wider and wider net, and this is what the intermediary shows. Schwartz and Steve and Dave. Now, we go on. I wonder, we opened with a guy with Ramu, who gave an invocation, who's going to be coming back and doing more stuff next week. And we're also going to have, let's play a couple of CD, couple of cuts on the CD to go out with. This is Joe Sakuraci CD, Sunrise in the West. And he's a poet and teacher and Zen guy and a Buddha guy. And let's do Where's the Revolution 1. And this is his CD. And who's on it with him? John Densmore from the Doors.
Right.
The Doors. Stephen Kent playing it's the Aboriginal instrument. His didgeridoo. and Munros playing a flute. He looks like a guy from the subcontinent. And this is, we're going to go out with a couple cuts. We'll do the first cut. First, this is called Where's the Revolution? And we'll do the fourth cut, Indonesian Dreads. I think Monroe looks like an Indonesian guy, and they'll just give you a flavor. And they at least Joe Sakarachi, do you know Joe, don't
Sakarachi.
You? Sakarachi will be in next week, and maybe he'll bring some music with him too. And then we'll have some. And this is a programming process, so God knows who's going to be also on, but it'll be filled up once again with interesting stuff because this is San Francisco, David. And I want to thank David Grace for because I can do both, for doing it out. Hey, David.
All right.
Hey, brother. Hey, guys. Welcome. Here we be. Okay, so let's go out with Joe Sakarachi.
Yeah.
And John Densmore, Stephen Kent, and Man Rose. And this is called Sunrise in the West.
Where is the revolution? Sigh the factories of Tianjin. Ditches dug with comrades overseeing them. The shovels and the axes moan. Who will bring the revolution? Sing the mountains of Guilin, the green hills that rise out of nowhere, floating without end. Why revolution? Ask the palaces of Beijing. The forbidden city closes its gates. Snow falls on the stones of the Great Wall. When will the revolution come? Whisper the terracotta soldiers of Xi'an. The great bell tower peals the ringing and the rhythm. What will the revolution bring? Cry the farms of Shaanxi. Endless fields of endless green. The yellow river glows in the red light of the sun. How will the revolution come? Calls the temple of heaven. The railroad stations full of dust. The concrete apartments beyond the hotels. The portrait of the poet overlooking Tiananmen Square. And where is the revolution? Sigh the factories of Tianjin. Thank you.
Yo. Well, that was one track, and that's Joe Sacre, and they'll be coming in, or at least he'll be coming in next week. But I wanted to take these guys these few seconds to say, hey, thanks. I want to thank Vincent, Vinny from Blast Furnace Radio for jointly putting this out there. And I want to also mention to anybody who's interested, in fact, in doing this radio, there is time available on this station, Enemy Combatant Radio, and we'd like to have a variety of one struggle, many fronts, a variety, let a thousand flowers bloom here. What's a good way for people? You can send an email here to Indy Bay, to Enemy Combatant.
Oh, yeah, just give us a holler, too. You can phone us 415-864-1006, or just you can remember indiebay.org, or you can also remember enemycombatantradio.net.
And as let me correct this time, too, as Scoop Nisker, to paraphrase Scoop Nisker from way back then, and still around now, a Buddhist, still doing it. If you don't get like what we're doing, you think you can do better, come and do your own. And if you're interested in participating in this show, if you want to be a guest in this show, by all means, you can email me directly. It's Diamond Dave, your genial host. Diamond and Dave, and my email is Diamond Dave without the vowels. That's D as in Dave, M as in Motley, N as in Nebbish, D as in David again, and V as in Virgil or Victory, DMNDV@hotmail.com. Give us your feedback. Let us know what you thought. And if you'd like to participate, you can from anywhere on the planet. Through the eyes or through the ears. DMNDV@hotmail.com. Or give us a call. You just had the number. And now, back to one of our guys. Guests will be here live next week. Joe Sakarachi with John Dinsmore from The Doors. Stephen Kent from KPFA, playing the didgeridoo. And Manos. So let's go out with Indonesian dreads.
Under a bare 100 watt bulb in an old hotel in Yogyakarta on the island of Java, Indonesian dreads sing Bob Marley. Paint peeling under exposed wires. Laundry piled under soot-coated pipes. Filtered through cigarette smoke and beer glasses in the cool midnight air to the rhythm and the sound of one guitar. Soft voices filled with longing. We sing long into the night these songs of freedom. in soft voices, filled with longing, we sing long into the night these songs of freedom.
The Revolution. It seems as if I had my face pasted against a window. It could have been Mono's or some other bar. Looking in, I saw a former fancy with her current boyfriend hidden partially seen below her skirt, hiding in an apparent illegality of being too young in the bar. I come in and see Julie. I'm desperately seeking the fifth chapter of a Thomas Pynchon novel. It is following my life closely. I go to the library bookstore after having checked down the block where I'd seen a family with a composite image of two of the sons in a stored glass window. My, my, I exclaim to myself. The image looked like one of my friends when he was growing up, and so was I. In the library, I place my valise down in the waiting area, waiting for me to come back to it. I go to the card catalog to check on the Pynchon. There are no cards in the catalog. There's a video on and a fierce sports event on it. I stomp to the event. The librarian catches on. All of a sudden, on the screen are uniformed sweepers sweeping. She mentions there is police outside, and all of a sudden the library closes. It's a sign that the revolution is here. I go outside and run. There's a flagpole with the American flag flying at half-mast. A few of us decide to take it down. Then it's down to the gorges to hide out during the revolution. Actually, it's a place to keep the revolution going while the rest of the land gets swamped by the American Nazi fascists. I'm going down to the gorges, and it's become sealed off by electromechanical fence, which closes before me. As I continue the path, I'm confronted by a line of Americans with the flag being held by the front boy. I pull and get it away from him. Next, I'm being sought after through holes in the earth. I surface to the top and go to a corner where I see what I think is a bunch of anarchists. I exclaim anarchy as I reach the corner, but there's a guy and a girl practically making out and three black-clad friends of theirs hanging out. I explain that the fascists are coming. They keep to their erotic ground. So I begin licking the guy's leg, who's with the girl, and say with the guy simultaneously, "It looks like we'll be in jail." We separate and start moving together. One of the anarchists say, "We'll just look like we fit in anywhere, which is how we'll get away." We're jogging down a highway and get spotted as a pack. We escape into a corridor like a train corridor or a space station. Someone mentions Howard Hart died, and I plow through the corridor into a group of five older people wearing black. In the next compartment is a poet friend of mine doing mine. As I'm proceeding through, I realize that I've been here before in a dream, and sing and high-tailgated to the last bunk rooms of the compartment where I float up and join Julie. Several of the anarchists are with us. Julie's with a friend. They ask if I had done anything wrong and then talk about prostitution. Some American fascists come by looking for revolutionaries. I'm looking at Julie's bookcase. One fascist comes in, despite Julie's protest. He says the door was open. Julie plants a French flag down and says to the fascist, "Will you leave now?" The American fascist is dressed like an American Revolutionary War hero and sits down at a table. We join him at the table. He says, "Mind if I read a little Ben Franklin?" And I say, "You can't," and then take a bottle of beer.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Okay, on the move, this is Pam Africa asking you to continue your support for independent media. You know, one thing about independent media, it's about you. It's not about the government. It exposes the government. People be talking about law, it exposes the outlaw. Be real. Tune in to independent media. Pam Africa on the move.